Virgin Mary exalts the goodness of God. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good evening. I wonder what brought you here tonight. For some of you, it will have been the prospect of music and carols. Music and singing have been called the language of heaven, and we've had a little taste of that this evening. Stephen Sondheim said, if I cannot fly, let me sing. Ella Fitzgerald added, the only thing better than singing is more singing. For Victor Hugo, music expresses that which cannot be said and on which it's impossible to be silent. Simon Cowell, of course, always provides further perspective. Assessing one contestant on The Voice, he said, if your lifeguard duties were as good as your singing, a lot of people would be drowning. Happy Christmas, Simon. But I want to ask you, what makes your soul sing? What is the song of your soul? In the Bible, the psalmist urges, sing to the Lord a new song. He also tells us, God puts a new song in my mouth. Scripture declares that God longs for a new song for each one of us. The Song of Mary, which we've just heard read, had never been sung before. It was a spontaneous, prophetic declaration, even though it's steeped in Old Testament quotation. Was it the work of a trained lyricist or composer? No. It was the song of an unwed teenage girl from a scorned town in occupied territory on the edge of empire. Yet this girl sings a song that composers continue to set to music today. Wikipedia lists 233 different versions by composers. I counted them. And that's just the well-known ones. Now, the Magnificat, as this song is called, is one of an explosion of songs recorded in the early chapters of Luke's Gospel leading up to Jesus' birth. We read of songs sung by Mary, Zechariah and Simon, young and old, male and female, even angels over Bethlehem sing. When Jesus comes into the world, it's as if poetry expresses itself and music is reborn. Maybe you need to sing a new song. Maybe you're in a time of personal desert at the moment. The Irish writer John O'Donoghue writes, there's a huge and leaden loneliness settling like a frozen winter on so many humans. The people of Israel had been in a frozen winter like that for 400 years prior to this song. Now, in the film, we heard of Jade, a midwife, seeking to help a Tanzanian mother in labor. And you'll remember that the mother's waters were black. There was a distinct lack of promise in that situation. And it must have felt that way to the people of Israel as well through all of those centuries of silence. God had seemed strangely absent. Yet God is wholly faithful to the promises of old. Mary sings in this song, he's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Heaven has broken in. For Mary, there was no advance warning of the angel Gabriel's coming. The veil of heaven can be drawn back in a moment. It's already happening for some of you tonight. It's been happening in the worship or listening to the readings. God is drawing close. Mary's song is a song sung in response to the infant Saviour inside her. It's as if his presence is already starting to make things happen. So what does this song tell us about God's longing for the song of our soul? Well, firstly, Mary sings in joy because the Lord is mindful of her. She sings, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Mindfulness is all the rage. The NHS champions mindfulness. My children have had mindfulness classes in school. If you don't know what mindfulness is, it's a practice rooted in Buddhist tradition where you kind of observe the thoughts passing across your mind. But Mary isn't focused on the flow of her own thoughts here. She's entirely focused on God's mindfulness of her. The Psalms record a God who cannot but be mindful of you and I. The psalmist asks God, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You've made them a little lower than angels and crowned them with glory and honor. The psalmist goes on to describe God's thoughts as outnumbering the grains of sand. Now, current mathematical estimates put that number of grains as 7.5 times 10 to the 18th, or 7 quintillion 500 grains. That's a lot of thoughts for God to be having. But what the psalmist is hinting at is that that's just a flavor of God's mindfulness about us all. Mary magnifies God in this song. Hence its name, the Magnificat. But she's first responding to the fact that God magnifies her. In the Old Testament, Job asks God, what is man that thou shouldst magnify him and that thou shouldst set thine heart upon him? And the prophet Zephaniah describes God's mindfulness as a song that God sings over each one of us. God's personal song over Mary inspires a personal song back from her to him. And God wants each of us to have this kind of song. Now, this is nothing to do, incidentally, with whether we have a singing voice or not, despite what Simon Cowell might say. I'm just talking about a spirit of praise within us, however it suits us best to express it. This song of joy might not come easily without an encounter with God's presence. Therapy is the name of a comic novel by the Catholic writer David Lodge. And in it, a therapist asks the main character to list all the good things about his life in one column and all the bad things about his life in another. And in the first column, the man writes this: professionally successful, well off, good health, stable marriage, kids successfully launched in adult life, nice house, great car, as many holidays as I want. And in the second column, he writes just one thing: feel unhappy most of the time. His spirit does not rejoice. Mine didn't either in the last years of being agnostic. Many things had conspired in 2 decades of adult life. I knew that frozen winter of which we've heard. But visiting a Christmas service alerted me to the truth that God might be mindful of me. Jade questioned this too, as you heard in the film. She said, over time, I began to question the possibility of my own ignorance. I began to wonder if God could actually be true. I considered perhaps it was arrogant of me to dismiss the Christian faith completely without ever having meaningfully tried to understand it. Now, going to church over the next 18 months for me after that service began to awaken me to God's mindfulness of me. But God was still a remote figure. He was still a watchmaker who'd kind of wound up the universe and then retired to a distance. And that's why it's vital how Mary goes on in her song, because she begins by saying that her soul magnifies the Lord, but she then goes on that her spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Mary sings in thanks because she has a merciful and personal Savior. She doesn't just acknowledge God as creator, ruler, lawgiver. She also praises the merciful, gracious one who lovingly forgives her and wipes out sin. She celebrates a Savior whose birth will affect not just her, but the entire universe forever. This Christ child will be born in a wooden manger, but he'll give his life for us on a wooden cross. A 15th century altarpiece in New York's Cloisters Museum depicts the angel Gabriel visiting Mary. And through a window appears a tiny embryonic Jesus. And in that painting, he's already carrying his cross. The limitless God outside time and space has remembered Mary and us in our humble state. And he comes low to earth to meet us here. Oxford author C.S. Lewis describes the incarnation thus. One may think of a diver rushing down through green and warm water into black and cold water, down through increasing pressure into death-like regions of ooze and slime and old decay, and then up again, till suddenly he breaks surface, holding in his hand the dripping, precious thing that he went down to recover. That precious thing, as Mary describes it, is the pearl that is Israel. But her song's climax reminds us that God's heart has from the start also been to reach Gentiles outside the Jewish faith. That's probably you and I. We too are the pearl which Jesus dives down into the black waters to rescue. Now, if you find that hard to absorb because your present circumstances seem so dire, be reassured that child Jesus comes as Emmanuel, God with us. He penetrates regions of ooze and slime and old decay in your life and my life. The Dutch Christian Corrie ten Boom became convinced of this truth about Jesus in Ravensbrück concentration camp during the Second World War. She writes, "No matter how deep our darkness, he is deeper still." It was hearing the gospel of Christ as Savior that changed everything for me. In the first week of an Alpha course, I'd become convinced of the historical reality of Christ and the transforming power of his resurrection on his disciples. But it was only when I saw the sinful decay in my life and grasped Jesus' death on the cross for me that everything changed. And it was then that I said yes to God, and he gave me a new song. But there is a third dimension to Mary's song. Mary sings in joy, Mary sings in thanks, but she also sings in hope, because God casts down the mighty and lifts up the meek. Popular culture is full of love songs, but it's also full of protest songs. And at this point, we need to up the level of wisdom we're drawing on and turn to Meatloaf. He says this, rock and roll came from the slaves singing gospel in the fields. Their lives were hell, and they used music to lift out of it, to take them away. That's what rock and roll should be, take you to a better place. Well, Mary sang a few years before the birth of rock and roll, but in this song that she sings, she's no alabaster icon. She's no passive wallflower. Indeed, the cover of National Geographic magazine in November 2015 named Mary, the mother of Jesus, as the most powerful woman in the world. Now, the lowly community Mary came from knew all about oppression. They looked to Old Testament prophecies of a promised Messiah who bring deliverance and shalom or peace. And Mary's song takes us to this better place. She's not just singing of our personal salvation, foundationally important though that is to God. At our time of current constitutional crisis and national stagnation, we need more than that, and God promises it here. Mary's song declares the coming kingdom of God, the renewal of the cosmos. The kingdom is announced in Jesus' earthly ministry, and it will be fulfilled at his second coming. In the words of the lion Aslan, the first Christmas of Christ's coming is the beginning of death working backwards. We need this wider hope in a dark time like the present. Every one of Mary's statements about God in the second half of this song is in the Greek continuous present tense, sorry to be nerdy. And that means God has intervened in the past, he's intervening now, and he will do so in the future. Always has, always is, always will. Mary celebrates God's great reversal in which rulers will be toppled, and the humble raised. And she offers a perspective free from enchantment by the smoke and mirrors of power. She'd get on well with Michelle Obama. Asked recently how she coped with the corridors of power, the former First Lady said this, "Here is the secret. I've been at probably every powerful table that you can think of. Corporate boards, G summits, the UN, they're not that smart. There's a lot of things that folk are doing to keep their seats because they don't want to share power. And what better way to do it than to make you think you don't belong?" Mary insists that God wants the humble to know that they belong. She reminds us that God loves the lost, the forgotten, the outcasts, the refugees, the weak and the broken, including in Oxford, a place of food banks, human trafficking, homelessness, and a lonely elderly population. God places himself on the side of the least. And if you feel in any way in that category tonight, and you've wondered if church is for you, please wonder no more. Come in from the cold this evening. And God's invitation is for us to sing this kingdom song with him. Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer, said of this song, "Mary sang it not for herself, but for all of us to sing it after her." This week, Dr. Dennis Mukwege became co-recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize. Dr. Mukwege is a gynecological surgeon, and he leads a hospital on the eastern side of the Democratic Republic of Congo. And through his career, he has provided treatment to tens of thousands of rape survivors, victims of rebel forces in the east. Day by day, he conducts operations, often up to 10 operations a day, to reconstruct women's wombs and pelvises. And on a wider stage, he demands justice for the sexual victims of violence and war. He's singing Mary's song after her. He lives in the hospital under 24-hour armed protection following a 2012 attempt on his life. And he calls his work a vocation. It's inspiration taken from his father, a Pentecostal minister. He gave me the gift of being there for others, he says. Mary's song isn't just the song of a pregnant woman in a unique situation. In 2015, Dr. Mukwege told his staff, "A man ceases to be a man when he doesn't know how to give love and when he no longer knows how to give hope to others." God's heart is to give hope to the lowly. And we don't have to be a doctor in a war zone to sing a kingdom song in our lives. That first Christmas, God's immensity became cloistered in a womb. His characteristics got wrapped up in a person. And Mary's song is like the kind of ultra scan of a developing Jesus. So Jesus scatters the proud. He exposes the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. He casts moneylenders out of the temple. He stuns Pontius Pilate into silence with his quiet humility. Jesus brings down rulers from their thrones. At the cross, he disarms the demonic powers that seek evil for our lives. Jesus lifts up the humble. He preaches the Beatitudes. He embraces children. He heals lepers and paralytics. He renews blind eyes and deaf ears. Jesus fills the hungry with good things. He feeds 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He preaches the good news. He nourishes his followers with the bread of life. Jesus sends the rich away empty. He holds a mirror up to a rich young man whose fist is clenched around his wallet. And he prefers a woman perfuming his feet over the proud religious host over their evening. And Jesus helps his servant Israel. He doesn't paint a far-off utopia. He declares the kingdom of heaven is at hand to be lived here and now. He equips a Dr. Mukwege and us with his Holy Spirit. When Jade saw the mother's black waters, she says, "There wasn't a lot I could do in that situation, so I placed my hand on her and prayed for her, saying, 'God, please be with us, please help us, and I pray for this baby.' She started pushing, I helped to give her birth, and I placed the baby in her mother's arms. He was alive, healthy, and crying." And what you didn't hear in that testimony on film was what happened next in that miraculous moment. The midwives around Jade exploded in song. There's an angelic choir, if ever there was one. And Jade says of their praises to God, "I was praising him too, and I remember really clearly in that moment knowing that God was there, that he was in it." What makes your soul sing? What song will you sing? God invites you to sing a new song of joy, thanks, and hope. And how do we respond to God's invitation? As Mary does, in faith. Mary doesn't sing her song here out of certainty. She still risks Joseph, her betrothed husband, disowning her. She risks expulsion, if not stoning, from her community. Her child hasn't even been safely delivered, but she sings in faith. Faith doesn't wait for all the answers. There's a song we can sing later when God's promises have been fulfilled, but God invites us to sing a new song now, leaning into him in faith.